When I was in college at St. John's University, I drove through Brainerd, coming and going, a dozen or more times a year for 4 years. An older cousin of mine lived there, still does, and I used to stop and visit Nancy and her family occasionally. One way and another, I got to know the community a little, even did some business there later on during a short-lived career in retail. Now that I spend most of my time living in, that is, reliving the past, when I think of Brainerd, I can't not recall the city's long internecine fight over fluoridation. In fact, it's the first thing that comes to mind. Partly that's an accurate reflection of what a big deal it was. It went on for almost two decades, twice in the early 60s and then again in the mid-70s. Brainerd voted against state-mandated water fluoridation in widely covered referenda. This wasn't just about Brainerd. It was about the rule and rights of law. And small communities everywhere tuned in to the struggle. Could a state tell a town what to do just because it was the state? The courts eventually said yes, and on February 7th, 1980, major headlines, Brainerd turned on the fluoride tap. 3 short years later, major headlines, Brainerd diarrhea, 122 cases. It's still the largest outbreak of that affliction ever, anywhere, though it has shown up elsewhere. Brainerd owns Brainerd diarrhea. It sent people rushing to their bathrooms 10 to 20 times a day for months and even years. 3 years was the longest documented case. So the Centers for Disease Control had to take this infection, if it was an infection, very, very seriously. They still haven't figured it out. It behaved like something caused by an infectious agent, but that's as far as the research got. Might have been bad milk, but that couldn't be proven. Might have been bad water, but that couldn't be proven. In the margins around that intersection of medicine and science and politics, stories bloomed like bacteria. Obviously, as people had been saying for 20 years, fluoride was a poison. It went straight into your guts and then downward and downward and outward once every hour or so. You couldn't even get through a movie, never mind church or staff meetings. The state, the governor, had to be behind it, underscoring how overextended pseudo-democracy had become. Didn't matter what the people wanted. Big Brother was pulling the strings, all the strings. Or, darker still, it was a communist plot to compromise public health in America, one town at a time. A pinko plan so insidious and unstoppable, we might as well all just flat out move to Russia. Presumably the water would be okay if you could stand the food. So there was that. There was also conflicting establishment medical science that said fluoride was a wash, literally. That other so-called first world countries who were not fluoridating their water had no higher incidence of childhood tooth decay, not to mention zero incidence of Brainerd diarrhea. And there was even a well-known Environmental Protection Agency scientist who insisted that fluoridation was the 20th century's worst scientific slash public policy fraud, the same century as all the DDT and Agent Orange skullduggery. I love this stuff. My memories, following the stories around, wherever they go. One of my favorite stories here is about the mayor of Brainerd, as recently as right now, still getting his water from the one tap in town that delivers non-fluoridated water. Am I the only one who identifies this as a case study in the ages-old philosophical debate, determinism versus libertarianism? If this world were determined, speaking philosophically, there would be no fluoride-free municipal water source anywhere in Minnesota. As we see, there is choice. Not much, but enough to keep the debate alive. For professional philosophers like yours truly, that's what matters. Tooth decay and diarrhea give us monologue material, but for job security, we require mind benders like, if all there is atoms and the void, should you get your shorts in a bundle over water quality?